It was clear back in 1983, 84. That's how old we are, Dr. A. And he's older than me, but that's when I came in 1983. And I will say this verse, Psalm 119, 125, was the first verse that came to my mind when I was asked to preach this year. I've never preached this verse, but it's a verse that has been with me since 1984. I've never really forgot that. The older I get, the more I realize that the theme at Appalachian Bible College, or the motto, because life is for service, is real. It's so real every day. I don't consider myself an old man, but I'm getting a lot older. It's amazing how time flies. I mean, it really seemed like just a few years ago that I was in your seat. And to be honest, just a quick briefing about that. I was looking for scholarships. I had several opportunities to play basketball and to play football in many Ohio schools and Indiana schools. And I was looking to go into athletics, to go into sports, to play ball, because I love playing ball. I played ball all my life, and I was looking to play ball. And God changed my direction. I won't go into all the details, but I just did not feel like where I went and was accepted to play ball at a couple schools out in Indiana, I just did not have peace with God about being there. Even though they were considered Christian schools, I just didn't have peace for some reason. God just didn't give me peace. And I came back and told my guidance counselor in a public school, I said, I'm troubled. I need some other options. Is there any other Christian colleges? And of course, he didn't know anything about that. And he gave me a book this thick. And I'm not kidding. That thick as the Strong's Concordance you probably don't use them anymore, you use a computer, but it was that thick. And I turned to page one, and Appalachian Bible College was on the first page. Amen. And I had no idea. I used to come down here as a boy, a young boy from Ohio, to visit my uncle, just to visit him, who owned a beer joint a half a mile from Appalachian Bible College. And I had no idea that this place was here. And I pull on this campus, and I'll never forget coming down this hill in my 1978 four-door Oldsmobile that my pastor gave me. It was a preacher's car. And I pull in and I meet the coach and I'm looking for the gymnasium. Well, we didn't have one. So I thought, this isn't the place for me. I want some place to play ball. I've given my whole life playing basketball and I want to play ball. And I'll never forget how the Holy Spirit really dealt with my heart. It's not about ball, it's not about sports, it's about serving Christ. And I had a peace, and even though, there was some doctrinal issues, and even so much I was so concerned, my pastor, 80 years old, he came down, I said, Pastor, I need you to see this place because I don't know anything about this. I've never heard anything about eternal security. I was troubled. And that old man who was diligent in service, 35 years pastor to church. Him and his wife came down and visited Appalachian Bible College to see what I was getting into. When he left, he patted me on the back and he said, this is the place for you. It's amazing how God works. It really is. The older I get, the more I realize how I have been served. You know, because life is for service is our motto, but the older I get, the more I realize how much I have been served. When I think of my pastor, 35 years giving his life for ministry, preaching the Word of God, he served me. When I think of the ladies that I thought were old, this was 45 years ago, I thought these ladies were old that were teaching Sunday school. One's gone to be with the Lord, one's ready in her 90s. You know, until she could not do it anymore, continued to teach the Bible to kids. As a matter of fact, what's really neat, taught five-day Bible clubs at my adopted dad's public school for years. Why? Because life is for service. I think of my pastors, my youth pastors, three of them that I thank God so much for, that gave their time and energy and their wives and their homes and gave so much without a penny given to them. Why? Because life is for service. I'm learning even more and more, you guys know this, and I have a hard time sharing this, but I was saved when I was 8. I loved the Lord. I really had a desire to live for Him and walk in His ways, and I didn't really come from a Christian home. It was a good home. My mom was saved. But my dad wasn't saved. And I lost my dad in 1979. I was 14 years old. Come home, and my dad had been killed at work on a backhoe. And to be honest with you, I was 14 years old, and I'm 52 years old now, and I still miss my dad. I really do. But the older I get, the more I realize how God used my adopted dad, who's here with us today, to serve me. Even to this day, he is here to serve my children and now my grandchildren. Why? Because life is for service. I didn't realize this when I wasn't that intelligent and smart when I got married, but please don't say amen, honey, please, please, please. I am a servant to my family. My wife is a servant to her family. In serving Christ, we serve our family. For the last week or two, my wife's been diligently working on our house to get it ready to serve my family. Tomorrow we'll have 35 people in our little house, and we'll serve our family. I've even got to be a part of that. I've got some of the things done, not all of them done, but some of the things done that I should to prepare for this. I've even set up the outdoor Christmas lights. Thank God for the ones that plug in and they're laser and they just shoot right up there. I like that. As I get older, I see more and more how that life really is for service. No matter, and I will say this, I've seen a lot of students throughout the years come and go. And many have given their life for full-time service. Many have not, but I know this, I really know this, that if you're a believer, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've become a servant. Whether you want to be or not, or choose to be, you really are a servant. You were bought with a price. God gave His Son to die on a cross for you and to redeem you and set you free. And as a matter of fact, it just reminds me, if you look at this, look at Psalm 119, 125, or maybe you have it memorized. The very first thing here is the identity of a servant. In this first phrase, I am thy servant, this identifies you as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many different types of servants. I'm so thankful for the options that you have as students and that I had as a student of different ways we can serve Christ. It's not one particular way. As a matter of fact, I really believe this. God will take you as you are and prepare you and mold you to the person He wants you to be if you're willing to be that servant. To do whatever. I'm going to go to a negative here for a moment. And I don't like to do this, but I honestly, Chapel Wednesday reminded me of this. I don't know about you, but I left convicted Wednesday. I heard some things that really are troubling, but we know this. And unfortunately, it's even going to be true in the future. There are going to be some servants even here today that will be defeated. Now, I'm going to let you use your own imagination about this because for time's sake, I'm not going to explain each one of them, but there's servants that are defiant, distant, depressed. We heard that Wednesday. Discouraged. There's servants that are dreamers. Some of you guys have these dreams of, I'm going to be in a big church and I'm going to have a great salary and I'm going to have me a nice office and everything's going to be fine. You've heard this year from the pulpit, from not just one, but be careful. There's going to be servants and that will be distracted. The things of the world will distract you. Money will distract you. Materialism will distract you. There will be servants that will be deceived. And unfortunately, there will be servants that will be disabled. And some will be disqualified. And I hate to say that. That, as a matter of fact, that really is hurtful. To think that, you know, when I came on this campus, the servants that served me were people like Mr. Perrin, first man I knew, first man I really met on campus, humble servant, him and his wife, the Van Pufflins, the Parvins, the Penners, Dr. Ryder, Dr. Winters and his wife. Dr. Pipkin, Dr. Anderson, many. When I think of the time and energy that they put into servants, and every once in a while see a servant that's been disqualified, it hurts. I remember. And I'm just going to tell a couple stories here. And honestly, this is hurtful. I remember a couple guides that worked for me several years ago. You guys don't know who this is, okay? Several years ago. Young man, young lady. They get married. For some reason, he had a rebellious spirit about him. They moved to their house And next thing you know, guides are going down to their house and they're having a good time. I went down there one day and thankfully you guys won't know this song, but one of the most popular rock songs in all of history was done by Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's Freebird. Don't raise your hand if you know it, okay? And don't go look it up because honestly, it's attractive to the natural mind. But I go down there and Freebird's playing. I'm thinking, why is this? What's happening here? Really, it was an attitude that was saying, ABC's not going to tell me what music I can listen to. It was that type of attitude. It was that type of heart. And what's really sad is I haven't seen those. The young lady is doing okay now, but the man fell into such deep sin. It was sickening. Sad. I don't even know where he's at now. I don't know if he's living now. He may not be. He was on the streets. Thankfully, God rescued her. It was a long time ago. Don't try to figure out who it was. But here's the thing I remind myself. It could happen to any one of us. Any of us. It could happen to me. It could happen to any staff member. Any staff member could make one wrong choice or decision and be disqualified. And unfortunately, there's more stories than that. And that's sad. I want to go to the positive here. What's a disciplined servant look like? You are a servant. You have a choice to be a disciplined servant or a devoted servant. Or what does this servant really have? Not just what does he look like, but what does he have? I like this book. I challenge you to read it. It's called The Disciplines of Grace by brother author Jerry Bridges. Three areas that he gives for discipline in being a servant. He gives many more, but three more I want to focus on today. The first one is this, the discipline of commitment. If you'll look at 119, 106. Matter of fact, I'm going to read that whole section. Psalm 119, very familiar verses, very familiar. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn. And I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgment. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The principle, the discipline of commitment. Under your identity as a servant, please have the discipline of commitment. I will follow your righteous laws. I'm afraid that in these days, it just really seems like, I hope I'm wrong, but it really seems like our culture, even our Christian culture, is consumed with what Christian liberties do I have? When I should be consumed with how can I commit myself to God and His laws and His Word? Yes, the Bible, it really is. It's full of standards and commands and judgments and statutes and direction. And I, as a disciplined servant, must discipline myself to be in and know and study and learn and apply God's Word. I remember one of those ladies, old ladies that I was talking about when I was just 10 years old. I remember making a vow, a commitment. I remember signing a document. I wish I could find it now. Maybe my mother has it. I don't know. It was a little document. I remember them challenging me, looking me in the eye, and saying, will you sign this, vowing not to do these things? I've never forgot when I signed my name. To be honest with you, though, I got to remember this. Just because I signed my name, and just because God has helped me not to give in to those temptations, doesn't mean I'm an incredible Christian. And it doesn't make me any better than someone else. And I need to keep reminding myself, like anyone else, I could make a wrong choice in one instant and be disqualified. Not only discipline of commitment, but also the discipline of choices. Romans 6:19, just as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, into iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. I must remind myself always of this. My body, my soul, my heart, my being, everything that I am belongs to God. Every choice I make is an important decision every time, every choice. When we train river guides, by the way, take the whitewater class. It's a great class. Okay? When we train river guides, when I train them, when Coach Sharp trains them, when we put them on the seat back there to steer and to guide, we make them make decisions. We try to teach them, these are the things that you must remember when making those decisions. Every choice has a consequence. Every choice. As a matter of fact, you know, I was thinking about this. Even the right choices can have consequences. You think about that in the life of Paul. The choices that he made that he ended up suffering for. Do you think that he really knew that when he was in the prison and writing 2 Timothy and handing that out through the ceiling, in that little hole through the ceiling, you think that he knew how much the world and my life and your life as believers would be impacted by him writing that? He had no idea. The choices he made, though, he was in prison. God took that and made something wonderful out of it. Our choices affect our lives. We make choices every day. We know that just like Dr. Anderson comes up here sometimes in chapel on a rainy day, he'll say, isn't it a beautiful day, or something like that. That's not exact, but that's a choice that we make. Third, the discipline of convictions. Romans 12:2, we know this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we are challenged, and we know this. Our convictions, we should have a sense about us, and we should develop biblical convictions, and we should be a people that hate and abhor every false way. Secondly, we see this, 119, 125, look there. I am thy servant. That's your identity. Give me understanding. Here we have a cry and a plea for understanding. The psalmist here is saying, give me, please give me this. Over and over and over again in Psalm 119, over and over again, you'll see the writer say, God, help me. We heard this in chapel just Wednesday. We need to cry out for God's help. We need to be servants that are not only disciplined, but dependent. I really do feel like that's a weakness of fundamentalism at times, that we are so consumed, even with our own strengths and our own discipline, that we don't depend on the Holy Spirit and God to help us. We really are a people that are poor and needy. I'd like to say because I was an athlete, I'd like to say that because I'm a man and I'm strong that I can do this. I need to say, God, I need your help. As a matter of fact, ladies, be very careful about being with the man that thinks he knows everything. Please. I caution you. Be careful about being around the guy that always has to win the debate. If I look back over history and saw some of the students that I went to college with, unfortunately, many of them that thought they knew everything and that had an answer for everything, unfortunately, many of them are not in ministry. Humble yourself. Depend on God. This was so neat. This one fellow, some of you know this guy. None of you students, I don't think, know this guy. We had a student here, this was 20 years ago, maybe 25. Dr. Anderson, you know this guy, okay? 20-some years ago, one of the most quiet, humble, backward young men that you'll ever be around. Now, this is really going to keep you guessing. You see him every day in someone else. Boy, I got you guessing now. Don't tell him, Dr. A, if you figure it out. I'll never forget being around this guy. He was so backward, so laid back. As a matter of fact, I know that somebody told him that was trying to help him. One of the instructors told him, I'm not sure you should really continue in the pastorate. Because he was just so backward. It was neat. My wife was waiting on some old coal miners at Cracker Barrel one time, and this man says, why don't you come and visit our church? And she said, well, why? What's so good about your church? Or something like that. I don't know. But he said, our pastor, he's a graduate of Appalachian Bible College. He states his name. My wife knows. Oh, yeah, I know him. He said, when he gets behind the pulpit, God does something in him, and the Holy Spirit does something in him, and he's a whole different man. Why? Because when he was here as a student, he humbled himself, and now he depends on the Lord Jesus Christ every day every Sunday when he gets in behind the pulpit. God can use anybody, any servant that has a willing and humble and dependent heart. We can't go into this, but I know this. We need time. Boy, I need time. I should discipline myself to practice these things. I will say this, even though we need both discipline and dependence. We know that the farmer plows and plants and waters, but we also know this, only God. It is God that gives the increase. We can discipline, we can do all the right things. God is the one that will give the increase. Third, last, is this, the intelligence or the intellect of the servant. I know I'm out of time, but listen carefully. I like the meaning of these words. It's family, assembly, congregation. It's the word know is to observe or to be aware of or to be acquainted with. We must be very careful as students and as servants not to seek knowledge for our own benefit. Remember, Paul said, knowledge puffs up. Be careful. Okay? Be careful not to want knowledge just to be smarter than everyone. I remember one student, and I like this guy, I really do. I remember him saying, I want to go to seminary so that I can have the answers to the people when we have debates and questions. And I also remember a very good speaker that's probably more intellectual than 99% of the people that speak here said this, you don't win people to Christ by debates. And he was a great debater. Probably one of the greatest of our time. The most important aspect of biblical knowledge is not how much I know, but rather who you know. And how that knowledge will change. Change you more and more into the image of Christ. I'll close with this. All of us are servants. Every one of us. We're the richest people on earth as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would love to sit here and as a matter of fact, we wouldn't have time all day to tell you all the riches, all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus as a servant of His. It's just exhaustive. I'm reminded of a great verse, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that ye should show forth the praises of Him that's called you out of darkness and transformed you into the image or into marvelous light. We have an opportunity at this time of the year to be servants in the gospel. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. I know all of you are wondering, why does he have those shoes? All these shoes, some of you can't see them, but I got all kinds of different shoes here. Most of them I wear. The ones on the front row I don't wear. Those are my wife's, okay? I remember this. I remember one time a speaker here saying something that honestly kind of bothered me. He said, he challenged us, he was challenging us and trying to get us more comfortable. I don't know his motive. I shouldn't say that, but all I know is what I heard. He said that his coat and tie often gave him opportunity to witness for Christ. And you know what? That's great. But I will say this, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what your outfit is, no matter the shoes that you're wearing that day, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this, that my biggest responsibility in this life and the heaviest load is preaching the Bible. The responsibility of being in these shoes, preaching the Bible, is a huge responsibility. But I'll say this, these, and honestly, I don't really care for these that much. Matter of fact, well, never mind. But I've learned this over the years. I've had more opportunities to share the Lord Jesus Christ with these things right here to lost people. My last trip on the Galilee River, and I don't know how long I'll do this. Coach Sharp keeps talking me into doing this and continuing. I don't know how long I'll be able to do this. But my last trip, I have 6 Army soldiers. And I told them, I will probably never see you again. And I had the privilege, because I was in these shoes and willing to serve the Lord in a way that I never imagined when I came to Appalachian Bible College, to share the gospel. Please, wherever you go, as a matter of fact, you know, some of them are work shoes. You guys as servants in this community, in this area, you should be the best master, the best servants for your master out there. It's a whole different sermon, I know. But no matter where you're at, no matter what you're wearing, no matter what shoes you have on your feet, you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ.